AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hamas says it's agreed to a ceasefire, but Israel says it's not the proposal that was under discussion and that it's going ahead with an offensive in Rafah anyway. Here at home, new protests in more colleges. Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters gathering at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. This protester...
We're protesting MIT's ties to the IDF. MIT creates killer drones for the Israeli Ministry of Defense. After 2 weeks of negotiation, MIT cannot confirm if its drones are being used in Gaza.
Today, in former President Trump's hush money trial, jurors hearing testimony from a former Trump Organization controller and a longtime Trump Organization employee... Before testimony got underway, Trump was found in contempt of court for the 10th time, threatened with jail if he keeps it up. Oklahomans and Texans being told stay home and stay alert today. A rare level 10 risk of large and long-lasting tornadoes covering the whole area. And in Texas, catastrophic and deadly flooding is ravaging the state. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is again calling Republican lawmakers into a special meeting to release $140 million to fight PFAS pollution and respond to hospital closures in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. The Joint Finance Committee is already scheduled to meet Tuesday, but neither item is on the agenda. The money for PFAS cleanup has been held up for close to a year. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says he won't rule out police removing tents again from campus like they did in Madison last week. Rothman says it's illegal because it's unsanitary and unsafe.
As your mother told you, nothing good happens after midnight, right? So I think we really are concerned about the safety issue, and the encampments ultimately will be gone.
Rothman on WISN-TV's Upfront. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. It's back to school today in Mount Horeb. Counselors are on hand to help anyone who wants to talk about what happened last Wednesday. The Wisconsin Justice Department now says a teenager was brandishing a pellet rifle outside the middle school, which can be lethal. Police are on leave after killing the boy. State agents are poring over body camera video as part of their investigation. The boy never got into the school, and no one inside was hurt. Madison City staff is out with more changes to the hotly debated West Area Plan after backlash from West Side homeowners. The changes include a lower density land use designation for places like Hill Farm Swim Club and a block of land with two churches on Whitney Way and Regent Street. The revised plan also cuts the number of proactive rezoning proposals from 5 locations to 3. The West Area Plan is the first of 12 the city has in the works. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
The Packers wrap up rookie minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' 11 draft picks and another 40 undrafted players were at the Packers' 2 days of practice over the weekend. The team signing 3 tryout players and a receiver, Dimitri Stanley, the son of Walter Stanley, a receiver for the Packers in the 1980s. Head coach Matt LaFleur asked about that sling on his left arm the past couple of weeks.
What happened?
Got in a little fight with the bench press. So, I lost.
Baseball, the Brewers in Kansas City tonight against the Royals. After losing 5-0 to the Cubs, it's the first series loss for the crew on the road so far this season.
It's little things that makes a difference between good and great. So, that's what a young team's going to learn, and we're going to have to go through this and learn it and keep our energy and keep our focus the right way. And it's a great challenge. You know, you lose a series to the Cubs on the road, especially in this environment. It's no fun, but you learn from it.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with a chance of rain late. Lows in the mid-50s and staying breezy. For tomorrow, some showers and storms in the morning, another wave possible in the afternoon. Mild with highs in the low 70s. Some sun to start Wednesday, then more afternoon storms and highs in the mid-70s. Currently, it's 72
Devil
degrees.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
Every business seeks an advantage, whether it's having the best location, hiring top talent, or spotting trends before they happen. And now, the United States Postal Service can give your business a new advantage. Introducing USPS Ground Advantage. Reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping. It's the advantage you need at the price you want. Get the Ground Advantage at USPS.com/advantage. The United States Postal Service, delivering for America.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, how do we talk to people with whom we disagree? Political psychiatrist Dr. Karen Demarius joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. And Dom, A, welcome back, and B, I love the trickle out of the evidence. I want to bring you and the audience's attention to two specific pieces of evidence offered today in the Trump hush money trial. Let's call them Exhibit 35 and Exhibit 36. And the commenter here is Andrew Weissman. He was part of the special counselor's team, the Mueller team, during the, you know, let's call it the impeachment trial. But Exhibit 35 is a copy of an October 16th, 2016, wire transfer from Cohen's account to Keith Davidson. I think I misdescribed him before. Keith Davidson is Stormy Daniels' lawyer. He was also the lawyer of Karen McDougal, if I remember correctly.
Correct, yes.
And a handwritten note, along with Exhibit 35, which was a wire, Dom, a $50,000 payment for tech services. Exhibit 36 shows a handwritten note on Trump stationery with Cohen's name on the top and the math calculating payments and taxes, prosecutor said Monday. That might be the back of the envelope as I described it, but I didn't realize this was a new piece of evidence presented. Let's call it Exhibit 36, Dom. Here's the interesting part. Weissman, the legal analyst over on the MSNBC, called these two documents devastating. You have these two internal Trump Organization witnesses who have written these things. The reason it's so devastating with respect to the scheme is this is supposedly legal fees. But it doesn't make any sense because Exhibit 35 is the actual payment record that Michael Cohen brings to Ellen Weisselberg that shows that this is $130,000 that he wired to Stormy Daniels' lawyer. He called it the hush money record.
He literally called it that.
Weissman then urged those following the case not to dismiss what appeared to be a dry day in the Trump hush money trial as insignificant. It might be a boring day, but this is such hard evidence. It's the kind of thing that prosecutors in summation are going to latch onto and make sure the jurors understand how preposterous it is.
According to Weissman, the two documents stand in direct contrast to the argument Trump's lawyer Todd Blanche made in his opening statement that Cohen was not reimbursed for the hush money. Look at the document, Weissman says. Look at Exhibit 35 and 36. Wallace then argued, Wallace, the host on the MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, then argued time spent impeaching Cohen as a character witness could only take the defense so far. New York University law professor Melissa Murray agreed. You can't impeach the documents.
Yep.
That's what makes the documents the star witness. Again, not the way Fox News will describe it, but the documents are damning. Here's the paper trail of the hush money and the wire transfer. Only I called it tech services, but when I took to Weisselman, the CFO of the Trump org, I called it the stormy hush money. Ooh, that's going to sting a little.
That's got to hurt just a little bit. The hush money record, the $50,000 in quote unquote tech services. Yeah, it seems problematic.
844-967-2789. I feel like we're ignoring our vibrant audience of court observers and Wisco Pauls. How you doing, Paul? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Paulie.
Hi, good afternoon, Devils. Great show today. Boy, that's a heck of a trial. I don't know how he gets out of this, but sometimes I wonder how anybody or certain people become senators, and I look no further than Wisconsin. I look at Rojo. So that kind of explains Tim Scott there. But look what Pence did. He sucked up to Trump for 4 years. Actually, it was longer than that, and did whatever he wanted to. Kissed his butt, if you will, okay? And I mean, it had to be a hard thing to do. But at the end of the day, after Pence did all this for Trump, what did they do? Because he wouldn't commit treason, they built a gallows to hang the man, G6. Why would anyone in his right mind sign up for that kind of job, I have to ask you? I mean, would you work for the... I wouldn't go to work for the Devils if I just kissed up to you and they go, hey, we don't like what you said.
Hang Wisco Paul!
Yeah, geez.
That'd be dissuading, anyway, I'd think. Hey, who wants this job next? Not me!
How bad do you need a job? I mean, for goodness sake. And that goes for most of his former cabinet. When you look at these guys, one of them called him a dumb SOB. The list goes on and on. So anyway, that's
but Wisco,
my thing.
You understand for me how close, how tantalizing for the very ambitious political sorts. I mean, this is one step away from the most powerful office in America. And when the boss is got 88 criminal felonious indictments out there around the nation, and the guy's like one Big Mac away from the big one. You know, I mean, it might be tempting to go along just for a bit and see how things worked out, Wisco. You know what I mean?
You know, Paulie, he's got a point, but, you know, who wants to be the next drummer in Spinal Tap? You know, it never ends well.
Yeah, that's too funny. There's, hey, what do you want to sell yourself for? I have to ask. How bad do you really need a job?
It might be worth selling your soul for rock and roll, but not the vice presidency, Wisco.
All right.
Thanks for.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And a brief line of lullaby just occurred to me for Donald Trump. Hush, little Trumpy. You don't need to say a word. Evidence is going to sing like a bird.
I mean, it will.
It is just the documents are now singing loudly, 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 and Donald Trump will open his mouth again, and he cannot help himself, but he will be violating the gag order once again, and it is just shocking these people that are still going along with Donald Trump. I mean, that your duty, you know, Tim Scott just violated his oath to the Constitution, because his oath is to the Constitution, And he should actually, he should have actually said.
His oath is not to tell the truth on a Sunday show, though. I mean, plenty of politicians go on Meet the Press and lie. Look at Ron Johnson. He was on there frequently.
But, I mean, if I was running against him, I'd say, this man will not come out and actually say, I uphold the rule of law. He's upholding Donald Trump as some kind of,
no matter what happens, Rick Scott thinks that Donald Trump will be the 47th president of the United States, period.
Doesn't Would you want to be that close to the man and be on his retribution list? If he wins the presidency, he might start building his own gallows with other people's money, of course.
Well, we're already on the retribution list, I'm afraid, that because we have people out there that are pretty willing to denounce us for criticizing Donald Trump for the past 6 years or 8 years, as long as he's been in office. So,
how dare we? How dare we hold somebody accountable for their behavior and their words? I can't imagine that would ever happen in any kitchen table or bar or ball game around the world ever. Give me a break. This is humanity. We should make exceptions for a guy who's barely human. Thanks for the call, Mark. We got one other one. The other vice president, you know, the Veep Stakes is going on, right, Mark? We got this one. Kristi Noem. Now, she apparently
she might have self-immolated. She might have burned down her candidacy and her chance at the VP.
Apparently, she's very popular among world leaders. If you have that one, Rich, just play the Kristi Noem also on the Sunday shows.
Talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor, after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world.
She's the voice of her own audiobook.
To my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book.
I have many, many leather-bound books.
My time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that. This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book, and as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted.
Except she already did the audio on the audio book, which includes her telling this story.
Who makes something like that up? And who can't just say, oh, no, man, that never should have got in there. You know, I mean, what? She can't even say. I mean, that her and Rick Scott, these are your vice presidential candidates. So here's
don't forget here's J.D. Vance. He's similarly detestable, but please continue.
Once Trump goes away, and eventually he will go away one way or the other, you know, the world turns. We got folks like Tim Scott and Kristi Noem to pick up the mantle. Don't we have that to look forward to? That's great. Great. It'll all be fine. Don't worry about a thing.
They don't turn him out like Trump does. I'm not, at this point, I am not worried about the next generation of Republicans. It's this generation I've got big issues with. We'll see what the future holds. I can't see past the next commercial break, Dom. I'm not even supposed to say that word. And look at, I'm under gag order and I broke it. I could go to jail. 844-967-2789. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to talk on the radio anymore.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from herbalaspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
Hi, I'm Mike Crute, and I've signed my share of commercial real estate leases. In Madison, I highly recommend Jeff Jansen from Altus Commercial Real Estate.
Jeff guided me to my first radio station location on the west side. He helped us move to University Ave, and eventually Jeff set up the lease at the Civic Media World Headquarters. No one works harder to provide options in commercial leasing. Call Jeff Jansen and his team at Altus Commercial Real Estate at 608-338-1101. Partner now with the greatest radio show ever and start getting return on your investment immediately. The Devil's Advocates are a small business just like you, and like you, we can't afford advertising that offers no return. The Devil's Advocates listeners support our sponsors and the mission, tell you when your messages are working, and put cash in your register. So invest your ad dollars to reach our raving Madison and Dane County fans, or affordably reach the whole state, Chicago, Minneapolis, and our nationwide stream audience today. The Devil's Advocates can be the voice of your business, hold special events at your location, interview your staff or satisfied customers to lift your business. Contact us today, Kroot@darnwy.com. That's Kroot@darnwy.com.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. No malarkey here. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Fox News Digital, Foxy News, my source.
You keep going there, man.
Rolling, I am a mass consumer of media. I try to gobble it all up. I read everything. I'm like Sarah Palin. Dom, Rolling Stone's Mick Jagger, according to the Fox News Digital, claims Louisiana governor trying to take us back to the Stone Ages. Now, apparently the Stones had a concert and Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger ignited a small feud between himself and the Louisiana governor last Thursday while performing in the state. The 80-year-old British singer, that guy is still rocking at 80. Don't tell me Joe Biden can't do it. And his band performed at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival to a sold-out show. After finishing the song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want," Jagger called out Governor Jeff Landry by name. And I would point out, Dom, and this will be pertinent to this article, Donald Trump is still using "You Can't Always Get What You Want" as of last week Wednesday in Waukesha.
He's been burning that record since he started running in 16.
I noted he played Michael Jackson, Little Michael Jackson, "I'll Be There." That seemed like a new one to the playlist. You know, it's hard to refuse when you're dead. Surprised I did hear some Elvis. That made sense. But he also played the Rolling Stones. And I don't know if you noticed, but Mick Jagger ain't dead yet. He's got the moves like Jagger. So Jagger says, "We're a welcoming crowd, aren't we? I hope Mr. Landry is enjoying the show. He's real inclusive, you know. He's trying to take us back to the Stone Age." That's what Mick Jagger said. Shortly after the comment, the Republican governor responded on the social media, the Twitterverse, Dom, appearing to mock the singer as well. That's always a smart thing to do, mock Mick Jagger. "You can't always get what you want," he posted on Twitter. "The only person who might remember the Stone Age is Mick Jagger. Love you, buddy. You're always welcome in Louisiana. Hashtag love my country music." I don't know if you know this, Dom, but Jagger and the Stones have asked Trump not to use their music. But let me get back to the Fox News Digital coverage. Though Jagger did not elaborate, Landry has supported several conservative policies since his inauguration in January, such as enacting more tough-on-crime legislation, as Fox News calls it, and enshrining constitutional carry into law. Landry also indicated that he would support bills that previously were vetoed by former Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, such as the one that would prohibit gender identity discussion in the K-12 schools. Well, that might be what he's referencing. And oh yeah, to require teachers to inform parents about students changing their pronouns. You know, narc them out to their parents, Dom. And though Landry might get away with referencing the iconic, you can't always get what you want. Not all politicians have escaped scrutiny. In 2016, Dom, 8 years ago, the Rolling Stones demanded then-candidate Donald Trump stop using this song during campaign rallies as well as Start Me Up. And when he continued to use the song in 2020, the band finally demanded legal action in partnership with BMI, you know, the music licensing group, Dom, a performing arts rights organization. You know, they're the ones you mail your royalty checks to. The BMI have notified the Trump campaign on behalf of the Stones that the unauthorized use of their songs will constitute a breach of its licensing agreement. If Donald Trump disregards the exclusion and persists, then he would face a lawsuit for breaking the embargo and playing music that has not been licensed. Mick Jagger, I am your witness. I was at the Waukesha rally last Wednesday. They played it. I heard it. Sue his ass. This is 2024.
Maybe they're paying the BMI, man. I mean, you know how licensing, like BMI and ASCAP and
Rolling Stack, Stones don't need very, Donald Trump's money.
They're very, very specific if you put something, a licensed music up on a social media site. So I wonder if like the Trump campaign site is still, you know, playing that music.
Well, I don't know about the campaign site, but when he actually goes to the rallies where the people are in attendance.
Yeah, if you're presumably those are being streamed. They're being streamed somewhere as well, right? Yeah, of course they are. They're on YouTube. They're on whatever their streaming services are.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, those things. And if you're playing that music there, well, we know from our own experience that those things can get locked up and shut down real quick by those licensing agencies.
844-967-2789. L.A. Tom from the Leftist Coast. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that means all of us, and we should never forget that. Second, why are these people such losers? They're just...
Are we talking about Dom now, Tom?
You're talking about the vice presidential candidates?
No, Dom's my hero. You are too, Crudy, but no, we're talking about Kristi Noem. She sounds like she must have fell down off her, you know, fell on her head as a baby, just like Scott Walker. Scott Walker saying, "Oh, I took over, or I stood up to all those teachers in Wisconsin," and she's saying, "Oh yeah, I've met many leaders, born leaders." It's like these people need to get a different script. And I just want to say to all of the Republican people out there that vote, really and truly, look at yourself and know that you're not a loser. But the people that you are actually supporting are losers. Like they couldn't even make it in high school, for God's sakes. They're so such losers. And the thing is, remember, whatever the Republicans in power are saying, whenever they say anything, whenever you see a commercial, whatever they're spewing, they're doing it. And just remember, it's a mirror up to them. It's called projection. But for those that don't know projection, if they're spewing it, they're doing it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Be well, Tom.
Hey, Tom, appreciate you, brother.
They're spewing it. They're doing it. Here's the crazy thing.
It's accepted of meeting Kim Jong-un. I mean, she literally wrote in her book, I stared the little tyrant down and I had all these little, you know, catechism classes or whatever she's talking about. Number one, terrible analogy. And number two, I mean, you don't make something like that up. It's not like you can stroll in and see the North Korean despot dictator on a whim.
Dominic, until last week, the worst I could say about Kristi Noem is that she apparently had an extramarital affair widely reported with Corey Lewandowski. Now that's the third worst thing on the list. Come back, more Devils.
Can't wait for next week.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Civic Media News. I'm Carrie Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Wisconsin is getting a $62 million grant from the Biden administration to help install solar power, but those types of projects might be against Wisconsin law. The Cap Times of Madison reports it's not clear how it will all work out. Stakeholders in the state will finalize grant planning in the coming weeks. Inmates in Wisconsin state prisons are finding expression and healing through art. Deborah Bremer is the curator of an exhibit called Art Against the Odds. She says the results are uplifting for inmates and their families.
There's pride, and you can imagine that that might be rare when you have a relative or a loved one who has done something and, you know, is being punished by incarceration.
The exhibit is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay through Sunday the 19th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. University of Wisconsin-Madison faculty and staff are holding a rally to support the student pro-Palestine protest on campus. Professors say it's an opportunity to explore the encampment and have conversations with students and others. Faculty, staff, and students then march to Bascom Hall for a faculty senate meeting. Professors tell Channel 27 they hope the faculty rally will push the university to let students be more involved in decision-making. The new Bayview Community Center at the Bayview Affordable Housing Redevelopment is now open to the public. The center was created by and for the people who live there as part of the second phase of the Bayview Foundation's Affordable Housing Redevelopment in the area known as the Triangle in downtown Madison. Bayview developers and people who live there aim to make it a model for other affordable housing projects. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Fans of the show Criminal Minds Evolution will want to hear this. Paramount Plus has announced the show will drop the first two episodes of Season 2 Thursday, June 6th. Deadline reports that a new episode will drop every Thursday following the release. The show stars Joe Mantegna, Paget Brewster, A.J. Cook, and Aisha Tyler. The show is a spinoff of CBS original Criminal Minds, which debuted in 2005 and ran for 15 seasons. Britney Spears sprained her ankle and the paramedics were called. People.com reports that witnesses say Spears and boyfriend Paul Richard Solis got into a fight before the incident while staying at the Chateau Marmont in Los Angeles. Spears, who was newly divorced and coming off a long legal battle with her father, seemed embarrassed by the incident, saying she twisted her ankle and the paramedics caused a whole big scene. Paramedics for a twisted ankle? Doesn't the Chateau have an ice machine? And who sprains their ankle in a lover's quarrel? Must have been one heck of a dance-off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with a chance of rain late. Lows in the mid-50s and staying breezy. For tomorrow, some showers and storms in the morning, another wave possible in the afternoon. Mild with highs in the low 70s. Some sun to start Wednesday, then more afternoon storms and highs in the mid-70s. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
This is Chad Spate for Chad's Design Build. We're proud to employ some of the best carpenters and remodeling professionals in our industry. Are you honest and hardworking? Do you love to improve people's lives by improving their homes? Chad's Design Build offers excellent compensation and benefits focused on outstanding customer service, professional design, construction management, and craftsmanship, all in a nurturing, positive workplace. Whether you're thinking about remodeling your home or considering joining our team, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author of Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel, Roger Rappaport, and Wisconsin comedian Tracy Schrader joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua, weeknights 7 till 9.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition of Happier Happy Hour, rolling through a Dom. That was our first theme song. Yep. Buffalo Springfield, what it's worth.
Oh, so good.
It is such a damn good song and very political in nature. And it does harken back, reminds you a little what they say. History doesn't repeat itself, but it does echo. You know, it's interesting, and I think because of the Rolling Stone shaking a fist at, you know, the governor of Louisiana, perhaps it was that this article caught my attention. We're going to need audience participation here forward. What song or genre of music best reflects your politics? And I would say Buffalo Springfield, what it's worth, is sort of one of those songs. But then we evolved them and Sympathy for the Devil.
It seemed more appropriate.
And it's exactly 6 minutes. A excellent length of time. Non-traditional. Doesn't play out as a single, if you know what I'm saying, Dom. But, you know, there's an interesting article. Again, our phone number, 844-967-2789. Here's the question I have. Music, what sort of music you like dictates probably what sort of political creature you are. You might not even know it.
Ah, come on. I don't know if I believe that.
Dom, I'm going to give you a little of the data. You don't have to believe me. I believe in data. And the data is spoken. Americans really love classic rock.
Yeah, baby.
I often find myself listening to classic rock, but this might surprise you.
Let's go about this for a moment now. I mean, classic rock, you know, to me is like Buffalo Springfield, the 60s, maybe some 70s. That's classic rock. You know, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses. When I listen to classic rock stations nowadays, they play Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, the classic
those
rock.
Those songs now, are like 30 years old now, some of them, Dom.
I get it. I understand what you're saying, but that's not like, you know, that's not BTO, man. You know what I mean? That's like modern rock. Of course, that was modern rock in the 80s.
Unlike you and I, Rich has actually done some work in the industry. You were a rock jock, weren't you, Rich?
Long time.
Yeah, you got that voice.
What kind of music? What, and rock and roll?
No, well, it was rock. It was classic rock. And just I can appreciate your position, Dom. But the thing is that Guns N' Roses and all that stuff does qualify in the classic rock window because what Appetite for Destruction was, what, 1987? Eight?
Seven,
something like that?
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
Wow.
We were
man.
Young and now we ain't.
Okay, but there was already a classic rock genre in 1987. How do you throw the new 1987 classic rock in with the 67 now in 24? I'm just so confused.
You just need to expand your horizons. Nothing more. Very simple.
Okay.
You know, they actually do sort of define the classic rock genre here. Maybe in the data points now, maybe you'll understand where you fall on this chart. The guitar god genre, weirdly, widespread appeal has, of course, been the point since its birth as a 1980s radio format. It's less a style of music than a loose confederation of hoary hits. Those of us in the less than hip middle-aged masses maybe wouldn't mind hearing on the radio for the 817th time.
Yeah.
And because radio stations relentlessly appropriated fresh waves of chart toppers as they aged, classic rock defies definition, Dom. One source says it began with Sgt. Pepper by the Beatles in 1967 and ended with Fragile by Nine Inch Nails in 1999.
What, no head like a hole?
Once the mark of leather-jacketed renegade, it has become... Yeah. Anodyne soundtrack of modern life. The Rolling Stones have evolved from infamy at Altamont to ubiquity at fast casual restaurants, from Gimme Shelter to Gimme Seltzer. Yeah. It's not just polls. Maybe 15 of the 25 top-selling artists in the U.S. history would get substantial play on classic rock stations, by our count, the Washington Post, and only a handful of us are able to resist the call of the Eagles. I hate the Eagles, man.
Oh,
Lebowski said that. I didn't say that. Black Americans rated R&B tops. Hispanic Americans preferred Latin music. Millennials preferred pop, and Zoomers went with rap, Dom. You were big into the rap in college, I recall. Americans, well, just Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. NWA, man, before Dre. And I heard Blondie today from like 1981. What was it, Rapture?
Rapper's Delight? Rapture.
Rapture from Blondie. And of course, Aerosmith with Run DMC, Walk This Way, was a big crossover hit as well.
Dominic, Americans say classic rock best reflects their lives. But when YouGov, that polling outfit, asked what best represents the nation today, about 37% of those polled said rap and 36% said country. That's essentially a tie. The margin of error, 3.3 points. So, Dom, people perceive that rap and country are representative of America. And country drew its highest support from retirement age Americans. 50% of those over 65 said it was most representative, more than double the rating it got from Zoomers or Black Americans. Rap pulled its strongest support from Blacks, high earners, Millennials, and Democrats. And of course, like attachment parenting and dashboard infotainment systems, hip-hop is a recent invention that suddenly became inescapable. If you asked instead what genre most represents classic Americana, almost every demographic agrees on country. The exception are Black Americans who stick with hip-hop and young Americans who pick pop. Midwesterners, for some reason, lean towards classic rock.
Yeah, baby.
Now, Dom, rap and country also vie for the biggest cultural impact, with country eking out a 36-35 lead. The virtual tie causes an illuminating split nationwide with, wait for it, Dom, older, whiter, and more Republican folks leaning towards country. Ever since Beyonce made an album, that might change, though, Dom.
We'll see.
And younger, more left-leaning, and Black and Hispanic Americans picking hip-hop, so they say. And Indian alternative rockers will be crushed to hear that their chosen genres, which essentially are defined as music most people haven't heard of, wasn't the most obscure in the poll, and that sweepstakes of which musical style inspired people to say they were not sure how they felt about it. Indie came in third. Most demographics rated world music as the most obscure. What is world music, Dom? Sounds like some stuff you'd listen. Is it? Yeah, is that world music?
As the Washington Post continues, they show the chart here. Classic rock way up there. According to the polling, 43% love classic rock. About 39%, they like it. Well, let's see. Who hates it? Oh, like 1%. Come on. Who hates classic rock? A little bit more here. Classic rock easily wins the best approval rating. As in politics, we're looking for how many people like it or love it, and then subtracting how many people dislike it or hate it to get the net approval. Pop, R&B, blues, and country all do well by this metric. Many genres do. To be honest, Americans just plain like music.
And the devil's advocates.
Unless
our approval rating, 99.9%. We're like 99.4%. You got a few.
Americans just plain like music, Critty. Unless it's punk rock. Punk's the only musical style to pull a negative approval rating, which honestly probably sounds like a badge of honor to the folks who brought you such punk classics as Killing for Jesus, Armed and Stupid, and Stealing People's Mail. Come on, who doesn't love some classic punk? Come on, people. Punk's biggest fans are by far millennials. Interesting. They give it double the approval rating of the next highest group, the Zoomers. Beyond the top two, the outsiders who brought you Let's Lynch the Landlord will be terrified to learn that they get their third highest rating from the highest earners, families who make what used to be called a six-figure income. But really, punk only comes out on top overall because anti-Mohawk sentiment crosses party lines. Republicans actually save their worst ratings for rap, while Democrats tend to more than dislike Christian music. That's some. I can understand that part of
wasn't Striper like a Christian rock band once upon a time?
Metal band, yeah. To hell with the devil. Hip-hop, while polarizing, enjoys immense support among Zoomers and millennials, as well as their Black and Hispanic compatriots. in particular, more than half of Black Americans say they love the genre, one of the strongest love ratings in the entire country. Other top relationships include Black Americans in R&B and soul funk, and Gen X and Midwesterners and classic rock. Punk's the worst rated genre in the South. In the Midwest, that honor goes to Latin music, presumably because the region has the nation's smallest Hispanic population by a wide margin. In the Northeast and the West, the two least rural regions by population, the worst rated genre is contemporary Christian. Contemporary Christian draws its strongest favorability from Black Americans, Republicans, and Southerners. The first group may not be surprising. Black Americans rank among the most likely to dish out positive ratings, no matter the genre. Republicans tend to be stingier. In fact, Christian music is one of the only genres that's more approved by Republicans than by Democrats. The others are country, classic rock, and gospel choir.
Yeah, I'm not buying a lot of gospel choir albums. I got to be honest. I did get my first exposure to The Clash, though, by my cousin Patrick down in North Carolina, Wilson, North Carolina. It was Christmas Day, 1982, or shortly thereafter. It was over the Christmas holiday, and Patrick took me to his bedroom, and he threw the album.
Oh, yeah.
He threw the album on the turntable and played Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? And I wore headphones, and it just filled my ears with with rage and outrage. And I got to admit, I like punk rock, much more so than the Christian contemporary. You know, I can like Jesus but hate his music, can I?
Why not? How about Die, My Darling? We got to play some Misfits on the way out. Let's keep going on the lines. Music. What's the music? Does it dictate your politics? I don't think so, man. I mean, everyone loves classic rock. Dick from Madison, you're up. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Dick, you're on the radio.
Yeah, hey. Earlier you said something about you're not worried about this generation of Republicans, was it?
Yes, the next generation. They've all sold their souls to Trump. He's taken all their souls to hell with him when he goes.
Okay. Real quickly, I just read an article about all these kids that grew up, they were like middle school age, that are real into them now, that are turning 18, 19, 20, and their parents were Trumpies too, and they're down with this in a big way. Mm-hmm. Some of them are saying, we never knew any other politics but this guy. But
well, cult membership can be generational unless you drink the Jim Jones Kool-Aid, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. But where I was going to go actually was, where is the Republican Party? How do they do this? They keep finding these intellectual giants like Sarah Palin and this governor. I mean, it's amazing.
They got think tanks out recruiting them, Dick. Guys like Scott Walker.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Scott Walker, he's forming the minds of the next generation of young America's foundation.
Yeah, that's a scary thing, isn't it?
Well, presumably only 6 or 7 people show up to the ice cream party on campus.
Well,
so
that's true.
I'm not really worried about it.
Hey, Dick, before we let you go, musically, is there a music that sets the tone of your politics? Or, you know, just give us an answer, Dick.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to stress you on this one.
First 3 albums of Chicago.
What happened after that? They put out like 27 albums, Dick. You stop liking them?
I know, but no, I love them. Seen them 12 times.
Chicago. I never would have expected that. Not even the musical soundtrack, Dick. I haven't even heard that band's name, you know, outside of the city name, but I didn't make the association. Chicago. I remember, like, Chicago 17. That was, like, their 17th album, right? Perhaps they'll... Never mind. I was thinking a Green album, perhaps, for their tradition of dyeing the river green for St. Patty's Day.
64, man. That's the one that sticks in my head. 1970?
Isn't it 5150?
Oh, you went too?
More Devils.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did.
We proudly announce the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from herbalaspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
Hey, Brad from Zero Res Madison here. What's the best way to clean your carpet? Well, not surprisingly, it's the same way you clean your clothes. You wouldn't clean a dirty shirt by running a white cloth over the top of it. Or would you try to get it clean by sprinkling chemicals and rubbing it in? For a real clean, you need hot water, agitation, and a cleaning agent, just like your laundry. For a fresh, healthy clean with no residue, call Zero Res Madison or schedule online. Zero Res, spell it forward or backward, it's the right way to clean.
Hey folks, Stephanie Miller here. As an enlightened progressive, you know how important it is to do business in accordance with your politics. That's why Solidarity Realty is my favorite real estate firm in Madison. Solidarity Realty is a local independent realty company that lives their values. They provide outstanding expertise and protect your best interests while building community and promoting sustainability and diversity. Viva la resistance! Find them today at SolidarityRealty.com. And don't forget, tell them Stephanie Miller sent you.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a four-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
1989, that actually predates our friendship. Probably early 90s, like 91, 92, I think I met you.
Yeah.
In that time frame. What's the next concert you have tickets for?
I have something, but it's not coming to my head. I do have some tickets to see. I think
what's the last concert you saw? Can you remember that? That's also a difficult question, I realize.
It is.
Because you like to party at the concerts. I've known from personal experience.
I like all the concerts, Crudy. Who am I going to go see? The Struts. I'm going to go see the Struts at the Rave. I think in August is the next concert I have. But of course, Summerfest comes. There'll be, I think Greta Van Fleet comes in like May. Maybe I'll sneak some late tickets for that at the Forum. Summerfest, of course, in late June, early July, be a bunch of bands there. So, you know, whatever's around, man.
My wife.
Live music is the most entertaining thing ever. And short of, and I'm not a big country fan, but some of it's not too terrible. But anything live is better than the non-live.
So you're not a big fan of DJs? Because I used to be a DJ, and I think you're insulting me now.
I mean,
and Rich. Know, Rich was also a DJ.
You know, I mean, pitting in the record and hit and play is less than like...
What if I did some scratching?
That's what I'm saying, dude. You weren't scratching. You didn't have a double...
You don't know that? Comment.
Yeah, I do. You weren't doing that. You weren't doing that. You were
down
playing
at Cheers?
Like Guns N' Roses and trying to clear the
floor. Au contraire, mon frère. Depends on which venue I was working. Cheers in La Crosse down on 3rd Street, owned by Val Palin. And then also he owned the Silver Bullet, where I did play the Guns N' Roses at the teen dances, where they'd make the money on the door. And there'd be like 2,000 kids in this big warehouse-style dance place. The teen dances, I'd play the Guns N' Roses. I'd have to warn the bouncers. Paradise City was coming because fights would break out. It'd be a massive mosh pit of hundreds.
Not a fight, just for the record.
No, but then fights would break out in the mosh pit.
If they can't handle the mosh pit, well, then stay out of the mosh pit.
But
no fighting in the mosh pit.
At Cheers Bar, which had a more diverse clientele, let's just say. I mean, a lot of black guys used to come in there. They had Funk Night. And a guy named Chris Black, I want to say, was, and I know another Chris Black who's not black, but this guy was. And he had this great album collection, and he did have the double turntables. But I'm pretty sure Val, and I don't mean to speak of the dead. I'm assuming Val's dead. It's been 30 years, and he was old then. But he's, like, old school racist. Like, he didn't want to hire a black DJ, I'm pretty sure, because there had been some trouble in that, and he was a little concerned about his clientele in the bar, because I know I got dragged into court a couple times as a witness to violent acts that happened on Funk Night. So he doesn't hire the actual qualified DJ. He hires the white college kid to play Funk Night in his bars.
Wow.
And I think he thought if I made it less funky, like, you know, if I was less appealing to the audience, there'd be less people there. But Chris gave me his record collection, man. So there were times I'd be playing like Cool Moe Dee. I'd be playing stuff that I couldn't say the lyrics to in that bar without getting my ass kicked. But, you know, there was a grudging respect that at least Chris gave me the playlist, and I'd go in there and play the good stuff, whether Val liked it or not.
Or not. That's right. You show him, Crudy.
Yeah, I didn't know most of the music. I mean, this was some hardcore stuff, some of the stuff Chris had in his collection. Good stuff. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it wasn't Madonna. And on other nights that weren't Funk Night, I'd be playing Madonna.
Gotcha. Not Madonna. Madonna just did like 1.6 million people in Rio, I thought.
Yeah, Copa Cabana Beach. Surprised you weren't there. First concert I've heard you missing in a while. 844-967-2789. Turning our attention to Appleton. Is it Mindy or Cindy calling?
It's Cindy. Hey, Cindy.
I saw Mindy on the screen. I said, yeah, but I just saw Cindy this weekend. I bet it's Cindy. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good, brother. Anyway, I hope your last caller was only joking when he called Sarah Palin an intellectual giant, because that woman couldn't find her way out of a wet paper bag, for God's sakes.
Well,
I think so, it was anyway, being...
It's implied sarcasm, Cindy.
Yeah.
I hope so, because, oh my God. Anyway, my music genre is like something like Bridge Over Troubled Waters, Bye Bye Miss American Pie, and anything by Arlo Guthrie. So whatever kind of music that is, that's me.
Oh, all right. Some Simon and Garfunkel, a little folk kind of stack action there, Cindy. I like that.
Yep.
Cindy, are you a Bernie Sanders fan? Because I think you share musical genres. I mean, didn't he use America by Simon and Garfunkel as his launch music in 2020, I believe?
I think he did, but I still feel the burn.
I'm still feeling the burn. He's running for re-election. 6 more years.
Oh, my God. How old is Bernie Sanders?
82.
Right now? Oh, damn.
Nobody's worried about Bernie's health, are they? I'm not worried. He's taking care of the heart thing, Cindy, and I think he's in great health. Easily serve 6 more years. Joe Biden might serve 6
September.
More.
He'll be 83 in September, right? So he's up this year. So, you know, add 6 to that. 89, man.
89 and doing fine. If it's Bernie Sanders, he'll announce his reelection at 89. Dom, you watch. Mark my words. If we're still doing this show, and I hope we are, we'll be talking about Bernie's reelective campaign. But he'll be 95. Yeah, but he's still more vibrant than any of those backbenchers on the right. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Hope you have a wonderful evening. Joe Biden coming to town on Wednesday. When we get details, we'll share them. But tomorrow, Trump's back in court. We'll be back doing what we do, laughing at his ass.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show. On our next episode, Todd's going to be back here in the studio on State Street, and we'll have Luke Mathers for another round of Tuesday Tangents, as well as some fresh Brewer tickets for you.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Is doing it yourself not working out? Don't need the whole building for your business anymore. Call Altus Commercial Real Estate. They'll help you find quality tenants to fill your vacancies. They market, they show, they negotiate the terms, they do all the legwork and keep you informed.
call Altus Commercial Real Estate at 608-338-1101. 608-338-1101.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.